Psalm 96, reading the entire psalm, hear God's word. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. And he will judge the world with righteousness and the people in his faithfulness. May God be pleased to bless to us this reading and to give us encouragement and strength as we look into his word. When you come home from a trip, it's good to get home, isn't it? You can kick off your shoes and curl your toes in the carpet and sit in that favorite comfortable chair. You can also sleep in your own bed, and that's a good thing too. Coming to worship ought to be like that. You've come off a week, perhaps an arduous week in the world, and now you come to worship and you can rest before the Lord. You can sing his praise. You can hear the proclamation of the gospel. And in that praise and in that proclamation, you have the privilege of meeting with Christ and resting before the Lord. And this is exactly what our psalm is about this morning. The privilege of coming to weekly worship and in that worship giving praise and proclamation and resting before the Lord. And so that's simply the point I want you to get this morning. That you have the privilege of meeting your Lord in weekly praise and proclamation. It's a very simple message that you have the privilege of meeting your Lord in weekly praise and proclamation. The psalm which is before us, Psalm 96, centers on this praise and proclamation and worship. And the very center of the psalm is verse 9. Verse 9 is kind of a hinge or a pivot around which all of the psalm swings, or around which all of the psalm turns. Worship the Lord in holy attire, the New American Standard Version says. Tremble before him, all the earth. And the little word worship in the Old Testament means throw yourself down on your knees and bow before the Lord. Fall before Him and worship Him. And it's a word which is given to the people of God. Worship the Lord in holy attire, or in the splendor of holiness, some of the versions read. And the only way that you can do that is that if you are united to Jesus Christ and you have been separated from the world and brought into the body of Christ, that's the only way that you can worship Him in holiness as an individual that has been separated unto God in holiness. And that's what the text is talking about. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness or in holy attire. And of course, if you look at the text in this way, you are reminded of the holy attire which Christ is pleased to give you as He separates you from the world and He gives you the gift of His righteousness. And so there is a trembling, as it were, before Him as we look to Him in awe because of His greatness and because of His glory. And you'll notice in verse 9, we also have the note of the Lordship of Christ. And I think that's how we ought to take the text. Worship the Lord, that is Jehovah, or as the modern commentators would put it, Yahweh, the great God of all. And that word is translated in the Greek Old Testament and carried into the New Testament as the word Kurios, Lord. And in the New Testament, that word refers to Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. And when you scan this psalm, what do you notice? That word Lord is used repeatedly. Let's look through it just for a moment. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Verse 4, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Verse 5, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Verse 7, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Verse 8, ascribe to the Lord the glory of His name. And then in verses 12 and 13, let the field exult and all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for He is coming. And you see the accent here on the great God who is the Lord of all. And this is in accordance with the confession of the Old Testament saints. The Lord, He is God. It is not some other God that we serve. It is the Lord who is God. And that is the confession you make and the confession that I make. And once again, I submit to you that we ought to be thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one to whom we repair. And let's go up to verses 4, 5, and 6. What does it tell us about this Lord? For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, for He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. He is the Creator. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Yes, this Lord is the Creator. And you'll notice how the idols are put in juxtaposition to the idea of the Lord being the Creator. Again, in verse 5, "For all the gods of the peoples are idols," or the marginal note in the New American Standard Version is, "non-existent things." That's interesting, isn't it? In other words, idols are nothing. Several years ago, R.C. Sproul wrote a book in which he titled, "Not a Chance." I think that's the title, if my memory serves me correctly. And his book was all about the concept of chance. And he says in this book, chance is nothing. It is a non-entity. It is no thing at all. And those who believe in chance believe in nothing, a non-entity. And of course, we use that word lightly, do we not? Well, the same thing is true with regard to these idols. They are actually non-entities. Oh yes, people make images, but what stands behind those images? Nothing. And that's the point that the text is making in verse 5. "For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord, who is everything, He is," and we could put a period at the end of that sentence, "He is," you see, "He is the great God of all. He is the beginning and the end. He is everything. He is the Creator. And He made you, and He made me," this great Lord. And you remember how the Apostle John puts it at the beginning of his gospel. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He made all things." Through Him, all things were made. Indicating that Jesus Christ, the Lord, is the Creator. And He is your Creator. And not only so, He is your judge. And when we hear that aspect of the truth of the Word of God, we may draw back a little. But do not draw back, friends, because you are on the correct side of the judgment if you are indeed in Jesus Christ. Again, let's look at verses 10 and 13. "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity." This Lord is the judge. And in verse 13, "The Lord is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with faithfulness." And how is it that the great God of all, who is the judge, will come? He will come in the person of Jesus Christ, who will, as the Bible indicates to you and me, will come a second time in glory to judge the earth. And if you have received Jesus Christ and made that confession not only with your lips but from your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you have received the righteousness of God as a free gift, and Jesus Christ is presently at the right hand of God the Father as your advocate, saying to God the Father, I died and shed my blood for these people, and you are therefore on the right side of judgment. There is a sense in which judgment has taken place already with regard to you. And you can anticipate that when Jesus Christ comes a second time in glory, and there is that great separation of the sheep and the goats, where the sheep are on the right hand and the goats are on the left hand, that you will hear from Jesus Christ, enter into the kingdom which has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And that is the great expectation that you have. Because Jesus Christ is your judge. What does the text say in verse 13? He will judge the world in righteousness and all the people in His faithfulness. He will look at His church for which He died, and He will be faithful in the end to you, His people, and take you to Himself. That is the judgment which you await. And so what ought to be the response to knowing God not only created you, but He is your faithful judge? It ought to be praise before Him. And so you come to worship and to ascribe to this Lord, to this Jesus Christ, glory and strength. Look at verses 7 and 8. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Yes, the psalmist says that you are to give to the Lord glory and strength. And how is it that you can give to the Lord glory? I thought He had all glory. May you add to that glory? No, I don't think so. But you may speak of that glory and ascribe to God that glory that He is due because He is great. And this word glory is of some interest. It has the implication of weight and weightiness. And when I think of that word personally, I think of gold, which is weighty. It's a heavy metal. or platinum, which is also weighty. And the idea is that when you sense that someone carries weight in your life, what do? You look to that person. You ascribe to that person glory and strength. You look to that person for direction. You look to that person because you feel that that person can give you a word of encouragement or direction. And that's the idea behind giving God glory or ascribing God glory. You sense that God is weighty and He is carrying weight in your life. And He's not trying to throw His weight around, as it were, to get you to do something. No, you sense, because God is so great, you, in response, are to bow before Him, and He actually does carry a lot of weight in your life. And so, the response is that you ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, because He has that weight and that strength. Look at verses 1, 2, and 3 in like manner. When you ascribe glory to the Lord, what do? You give Him praise. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim good tidings of salvation from day to day. Tell of His glory among the nations, His wonderful deeds among the peoples. You give praise to God. You sing to Him. And here, the new song is the song sung with the new heart. With a new heart that has a new spirit given by God. And able, therefore, to sing perhaps the words of an old song in a very new way, because the heart is light with the grace of God and able to give praise to God. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. And there we have another interesting little concept. Usually we think of God blessing us. But here the psalmist says, bless the Lord. What does God do when He blesses us? He says good things about us. He speaks well of us. And the wonderful thing about God's blessing is that when God speaks well of you and blesses you, it's not just words that come out of His mouth, but it's action. The words take life in your life. And because of God's blessing, your life is actually changed before God. And the principle is the same when you bless God. Because He has blessed you, what may you do? You may speak well of Him, and you may praise Him. That's the whole idea of blessing. In our English language, we would call it eulogizing. And the eulogy is simply a good word spoken. And so, we bless God and we eulogize Him. We speak well of Him and speak good words about Him. And we ascribe to Him the glory He is due. But not only so, as you worship this Lord, who is also the faithful judge, with praise, you also proclaim the gospel tidings. And our text brings us to those gospel tidings. Again, verse 10. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. And it's those crucial words, the Lord reigns. This is, friends, the good news of the gospel. Keep your fingers there in Psalm 96 and turn back in your Bibles to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 52 and verse 7. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. This is a familiar text, but it has the same language that we read in Psalm 96, the Lord reigns, or as it's put in this text, your God reigns. And listen to Isaiah 52:7. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace, and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation. What is the good news? It's the gospel. That's what it is. And what is this good news? Well, let's read the text again. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace, and brings good news of happiness, and announces salvation, and says to Zion, your God reigns. This is the great good news, friends, that you are not left to chance, which is nothing at all, but you are in the hands of the great God of all, who reigns supreme. And that reign and rule is manifested most specifically in Jesus Christ. And once again, you see, you are brought to that great confession that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. You have that great salvation because Jesus Christ is your King and your ruler. There is no better place to be than in the palm of his hand. And so you come to proclaim the gospel. Look at verses 2 and 3 in Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim good tidings, good news of his salvation from day to day. And in your singing and in your praise, knowing Jesus Christ, you sing of his salvation and you speak well of the righteousness of Christ and his good gifts to you. Through his death and resurrection, you speak of the good tidings of his salvation. And then, verse 3, tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. In the Old Testament economy, the telling of the deeds, the wonderful deeds of salvation, involved preeminently the Exodus and how God in his grace brought the people with a strong arm and an outstretched hand from bondage in Egypt. He brought them out and brought them in to the promised land. And he did so by the blood of the Passover lamb. And of course, those good deeds in the Old Testament translate directly to the New Testament where Paul tells us that Jesus Christ is our Passover. And so we are able to speak of the good tidings of the great salvation that God has been pleased to give to you and to me. Verse 3 again, tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. And so what do you do, my friends? You come to worship, you give praise to God, and you enter into the proclamation of the gospel. And as you do so, you meet with Christ. It seems to me this is the most significant thing that comes out of our text. It's not just the worship. It's not just the character of the worship, which is to give praise to the Creator and to laud His justice in judgment. It's not just these things, but it is actually to meet with Jesus Christ in that praise and in that proclamation. Look with me again at verse 6. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. And friends, you are his sanctuary. You, as you are gathered together to worship him, are his sanctuary. And God is pleased to come and dwell in your midst. Look again at verse 6. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. And what is this splendor and majesty? What is this strength and beauty? This is God in his character, visiting upon his people in his sanctuary, his very gracious presence. Look again at verse 2. I'm sorry, at verse 8. Ascribe to the Lord glory, the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his court. What do you do when you worship? You come into the very sanctuary and into the very courts of God. You enter into his presence. And I say to you, friends, his presence is coming face to face with Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. This is your privilege, to come to worship, to meet with Christ in praise and in proclamation week by week. And as you do so, you can find rest for your soul. Yes, I really like to come home after a trip. And just sit comfortably in the place in our house that I like. And kick back and relax. And then after a few days, and after a period of time, I'm ready to go on another trip again. And that's how the Sabbath day works. And the weekly worship you encounter works. You come, yes, and you get to relax before the Lord, and to meet with Christ in praise and in proclamation. And you may be reinvigorated and redirected and have the grace of God in your life deepened. And then you're ready. You're ready to go out for the next week of labor and work and study in the world. You have the privilege to meet with Christ weekly in praise and proclamation, and therein to find rest for your souls. This is the message of Psalm 96. And it's the good message, the good news, because Christ is King and Christ is Lord. And He is your King and He is your Lord. So remember this, friends, as you go through the week, remember, you have the privilege of coming back week by week to meet with Christ in praise and in proclamation to find rest for your souls. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this your word. Thank you that you bring us together to bless your name, to give you praise, to meet with you, our Creator, our faithful Judge. Thank you that as we do so, you are pleased to bless us and to give us rest and to prepare us for the life that we have ahead of us. And so, grant us your grace as we are together. Grant us your love and mercy as we meet you in praise and in proclamation. And help us to remember during the week that we do have the privilege to come together to meet you, our Lord Jesus Christ, in praise and in proclamation week by week to the encouragement of our souls. Hear us, we ask, in the good name of the Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.